Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to Indie Business Podcast. I'm your host, Donna Maria, and you have arrived at the one place where we empower you to enjoy your life, build your business, and have your way. Well, you know, it's no secret that the way we approach sales today is different from the way we approached sales just a few short years ago. Those who are moving forward, along with customers changing buying habits, are also moving their businesses forward. And those who are not, well, they need some help. Well, and actually, as small business owners, we can all use some help, right? Today I have got some help for you. My guest today is Kristen Zhivago. She is the Revenue Coach, and her clients range from startups to Fortune 500 elite like Dow Jones, IBM, and Johnson & Johnson. Kristen is the author of the RevenueJournal.com blog, and she has perfected a research method to uncover the barriers to making the sale and to overcome those barriers, most importantly. She reveals her methods in her new book, Roadmap to Revenue, How to Sell the Way Your Customer Wants to Buy. And she's here with us today to share some of her best secrets. Kristen, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Donna Maria. How are you?
I'm great. So listen, Kristen, let's start with, you know, a question that's on a lot of our minds, and that is, you know, how has the sales process generally changed from even just a few years ago to the environment that we're living in today?
Well, actually, it's changed even more over the last few months than it has over the last 10 years, which is kind of interesting all by itself. But the first massive change was from the static one-way communication where you would advertise or do PR and have things appear in trade publications or fashion magazines or whatever, but it was a magazine and it was a paper-driven world, let's just put it that way. And then the web came along, and the web became the place where everyone put their business, and it was the first place that people went when they wanted to find out about you. And then there was Google, and Google changed really massively how people were making purchases. Before, they would get, say, 20% of their questions answered, and then they would go and try to talk to a salesperson or go to a store and get the rest of their questions answered. Now it's flipped. Now they get 80% of their questions answered online or talking to other people, which I'll talk about in a second, and then they go to the company for the last 20% of their questions. Those questions, by the time they get to that point, are very specific. And the unfortunate part is that both salespeople and I would say business owners, when I say salespeople, I'm including the small business owner because we all, if we are the small business owner, we are the salesperson. But the salesperson needs to be able to answer those very specific last part of the buying process questions, mm-hmm. and their website should answer them as well, which they are not doing usually. Usually they are very generic, and people don't want generic. Just in terms of the last few months, what's been interesting is there has been a shift, and the shift is that people will talk to their friends first before they even go to Google in many cases because they're getting too many false positives in Google where they can't quite trust the person or there's just too many choices and they want to narrow it down.
Mm-hmm.
So they go out to their network of friends, and because of LinkedIn and Twitter and Facebook and all of that, it's getting very easy to go to like-minded folks and say,
mm-hmm.
I'm thinking of getting X. What do you think? What
mm-hmm.
What's been your experience? And they get their short list, then they go to websites, then they go to Google to further refine and see who else is out there. So they're actually using Google third in their process instead of first because there's just too much stuff on Google now.
So this is really interesting. So, you know, it's the world viewed through the eyes of your friends.
Right.
So we're going to our friends, and our friends are saying, okay, you know, this worked for me, this didn't work for me, and then we're taking that information and saying, okay, let me go to the website where my friend said she got this, and let me check it out. Is that what
right.
you're saying generally happens next? Now, we don't go there with our credit card out. We go there to say, let me see what my friend was so impressed about.
Yeah, and you just confirm what your friend said. Now, sometimes
okay.
because your friend recommended it, it can shorten the buying process quite a bit.
Yeah.
You know, I was at a conference recently, and I've been itching for a tablet and putting off the iPhone, iPad sort of thing because I'm, and I should tell you that I've been in high tech for 42 years. So I've been on the bleeding edge of technology all this time, and I'm very avid. I've probably had, I don't know, 20 different laptop computers in my career and things. Anyway, it was time for me to get a pad just to check it out and use it more easily, get email and so on. And I was at a conference with two clients of mine, and they both had different pads. I was looking at them, and I decided I really liked the one that one of them had. It was an Android pad. I didn't want to go into the Mac thing. You're either Mac or you're not. I love the Mac, and I would, but I can't because of my work. Anyway, so he showed me his tablet, and then we went online together while we were sitting there. Turns out Verizon had some pre-owned ones for like $300. I thought, well, this would be a great way for me to see what I like and what I don't like about it. And I just went ahead and bought it, signed up for a 2-year contract. Verizon has no idea that what really drove me to that was, first, I'd done a lot of research ahead of time, sort of casual research, but this was, okay, now I'm ready to buy. And the price just made it so compelling, and I knew that that wouldn't last forever. Those things go pretty quickly. So I just bought it. I bought it last night. Well, that friend recommendation is what led me to it.
Yeah, and that's so important for us to see because, and let me ask you this too, because so often, I'm just reading a question at our social networking site right now at indiebeauty.com, and there's someone who's saying, you know, I sell this product and it's really great. I'm interested in marketing it. And the interesting thing to me, and I want your comment on this, is, you know, we must not come from the perspective of how great our product is only, right? We have to come from the perspective of how we're getting the word out about that. Like, the goodness of the product is a total given. It always has been, but even more so now, we have to spend more of our time figuring out how to funnel people from hearing about us to buying from us.
Well, I would even go a step further and say they will not be funneled. And
they
idea of pushing people through a funnel and converting them and all that, they're not going there anymore. They're not obedient buyers that just do what we hope. And even with A-B testing, I was in a conference this week where the whole purpose of it was looking at A-B testing, you know, testing this versus that, making the submit button, which should never say submit. There you go. There's another one. You know, you will do as I say. Buyers are not doing what sellers are saying. They have complete control over the buying process now, which means they have complete control over the selling process.
Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I was just going to say what I teach people, and this is everybody from the, especially the smallest business. The first thing you have to do is go to people who have already purchased your product. Now, you can say, well, what if I don't have any customers yet? Well, give the product away. Do whatever you can to get some people that you can actually talk to and then start picking their brains.
Mm-hmm.
What happens is people won't tell you what they're thinking about you when they're being sold to. We never tell salespeople what we're thinking while we're being sold to. But after they purchase, they want you to succeed. They have a vested interest in your success.
Mm.
And they will actually tell you what their buying process was, the concerns they had, the questions they had, the skepticism they had, the things that turned them off when you were selling to them, the barriers to the sale is what I call that, the questions you did not answer, so they just clicked away because they couldn't find the answer, which is really common.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
You have to then interview them, which I teach in my book in great detail. I gave away all my secrets, and I've done thousands of these interviews, and I've learned a lot. So I've taught all of that in the book, and you just follow. It's like a prescription. Here's how you send them the email. Here's how you get them on the phone. Here's what the questions you ask. Here's how you do the interview so you get the most out of it. And here's what you do with the information afterwards. I will tell you that it's life-changing. I mean, I even had someone do it for me recently for my book so that I make sure that I'm saying the things and answering the questions that will appeal to them, not what I think, which is never, ever, ever, ever the same as what a customer thinks. Never. So if you're sitting there thinking, well, I'll just tell everybody how great this is, it is not going to work.
I love this because, and what you're saying too, and I'm looking at the book right now and the specific, as you call it, a prescription, it is really in here. And once you find out what a prior buyer or person who thought about buying and didn't, if you can find them, once you find out what they say about their process and how good or not, a job you did of answering their questions and getting them to a decision,
yep,
then it becomes still a lot of work, but not rocket science to write whatever needs to be righted, eliminate what's not working, and do more of what is.
Right. Now, going back again, there are marketing and sales as a discipline,
mm-hmm,
is the least effective function in any company.
Mm-hmm.
If you look at that, you know, people are thrilled with a 2% response to something.
Yeah.
If you went to manufacturing, if the manufacturing person said, well, hey, boss, you know, hey, Mr. and Mrs. CEO, I am succeeding 2% of the time, do you think they'd be impressed? I mean,
right,
it's just very non-functional. And the problem is, the reason is because we're all too proud, our egos are in the way, and we think we can, quote-unquote, convince someone. There's a company called MechLabs, MECLABS. They do a lot of A-B testing, fantastic organization. They also have a division called Marketing Sherpa, and you can find them all on the web. But Dr. Flint McLaughlin is one of the people that runs that group. And one of the things he always says is clarity trumps persuasion. He's absolutely right. When you think of things as a buyer, you don't want somebody manipulating you or trying to say clever things or leaving things out so that you're stupid and you buy it and then you're disappointed. People have been down that road thousands of times, and they won't go there anymore. They don't believe it. They don't trust it. So when you, by the way, you mentioned talking to people who have purchased and talking to people who haven't purchased. It's much more instructive to talk to people who have purchased. You want to start with that success and work backwards. Find the path they went on. And by the way, by the seventh phone call, it only takes 7 interviews. If you do them the way I describe, by the 7th interview, you will know. You will have absolute clarity on the things that you should be saying, the things that you didn't say, the things that you need to say in the future, the way mm-hmm. you need to design your website. Everything you need to know. They will help you. They will tell you. They'll stay on the phone with you for an hour and talk your ear off about this stuff because they have opinions and they love it when somebody asks them and listens, you know, really cares what they say.
And I would imagine that so few
yeah.
people do that. Of all the
right.
buying decisions they make, you know, hundreds every month, very
yeah.
few people probably come back and ask them for that level of detail about their process.
Yeah, it's really funny. You know, I'm actually selling a very simple concept, which is mm-hmm. if you want to know how your customer buys, ask your customer.
Yeah.
It's so simple.
You know, and maybe let's talk about this for a second, because
yeah.
for some people, Kristen, there's a barrier. That's obvious. What you just said, it's not
yeah.
like we said, it's not hard to figure that out. But let's help people who are afraid of that process to move past that, because maybe that's why it doesn't happen a lot. People are maybe afraid of what people will say about what they're doing wrong, or maybe they're also afraid of how much it's going to take from them to fix it.
Yes, and that is a valid fear in the sense that you may discover something that you'll have to figure out. But you know what? We're entrepreneurs, and you wouldn't become an entrepreneur if you didn't have some guts and if you didn't have some smarts. People who just want to sit around and go to work 8 to 5 and watch TV and not really do anything in life are not entrepreneurs. Entrepreneurs who start a business, have an idea, they get excited about it, they start building it, they overcome hundreds of obstacles. What happens, though, is there are obstacles you should be overcoming that you don't even know you should be overcoming, and if you did overcome them, you'd make more sales. That's the beauty of this. And then once you do overcome them, you really do make more sales because people say, oh, well, okay, I'm here now, but my first question is X. Oh, look, there's the answer. Oh, good. Oh, good, there's the other answer. Oh, cool. Oh, I can see who they are. There's the person's picture in the About section. You know, people actually leave their pictures out of the About section so you don't even know who you're buying from and things like that. So you overcome these obstacles. And I just to reassure people on two fronts.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, your customers are nice people. I mean, I have a jerk test. I actually can tell if someone's a jerk or not by my jerk test, which is actually in my book. I can tell you about it later. But anyway, I hate working with jerks, and I have a very low threshold for jerks. And what I found in life is that most people are nice people, and most people want to be helpful. So when they buy something from you and then you come back to them, you know, humbly and nicely, and you just ask this question, you end up having a conversation with your buyer, and you get to know your buyer.
Mm-hmm.
Frankly, you can't market successfully to this person if you don't know them. If you're guessing, it'd be like a waiter sitting in a restaurant or standing in a restaurant, and as the customers walked in, he would look at them and say, that guy's wearing an Armani suit. He wants sushi. Instead of going up to him and finding out the guy has a hankering for mac and cheese today. You know what I mean? You can't do that anymore. People have a very low tolerance for it. They're just like, oh, you're trying to guess. You're trying to manipulate me. Forget it. I'm out of here. And
right.
They go somewhere else. So the risk of not doing it is so much greater than overcoming just your shyness or your concerns. They will thank you. I've never had to pay anybody. They always thank me afterwards and say, oh, thank you so much. It's so smart of that CEO to hire you to do this because this really is a smart thing to do. I'm so glad. And at the end, I ask them if there's anything I should have asked that I didn't ask, and they tell me some new stuff that's wonderful. Just really, really great. You'll feel so much better afterwards. And the problems, the last reassurance I have is that the problems that you find, 99.9% of the time, I find that they're pretty simple things that you need to fix. They're just questions you've never answered on your website. Maybe you need to put your products up front. Maybe the pictures need to be bigger. In other words, it's not the product itself that has to change typically. It's the way you present it or talk about it. That's what usually has to change. Or a process. Some kind of process that made it a little too difficult, or you delivered it, but then, you know, something in your process isn't quite right, and those are easy to fix.
Wow, this is so great. We're talking to Kristen Zhivago. She is the author of Roadmap to Revenue. This is a fantastic discussion. So let me ask you this. As we talked earlier when we were preparing for the show, we talked about how our audience today in the indie community, you know, a lot of us make the products that we sell. And
right.
So we are inclined, Kristen, to spend a whole lot of time perfecting that product. It touches our hands. It goes through our hands, and it goes out into the world, and we take so much pride in that.
Yeah.
Have you noticed, or do you think that for people in that position, it may be a little bit, you know, sort of a different shift that has to take place to stop focusing on that perfectly handmade product that was made with so much love to the way that product is marketed?
Yes. But again, you know, people get uncomfortable. I have a client in your industry, Abby St. Clair. Margaret Hardy is the owner and creator of all the products. I love her. She's just a wonderful person. We've become friends. And she had a website that was kind of hidden. You came in and it said shop, S-H-O-P-P-E, sort of over in the corner. It was clever. It was kind of Irish-looking, which was fine, but it was too many barriers to the sale. So the website's been completely redesigned. It's abbystclair.com, C-L-A-R-E, Abby St. Clair. And she makes great products, and she is exactly what you described. She is a brilliant product maker, chemist, scientist, biologist type person, and it's very hard for her to just kind of be out there, quote unquote, because she's the scientist in the back room, you know, who does all this beautiful stuff. So I've been helping her, and part of it is you can have someone help you who we found someone who works up in Canada who's a wonderful gal, and she's been helping her with some of her Facebook stuff and, you know, sort of the more social aspects.
Mm-hmm.
But the truth is you cannot survive without your customers.
Mm-hmm.
They are your best friends, okay? And when you stop thinking about them as people you have to manipulate because you're the seller, and stop reading all that terrible advice from sort of hunter salespeople who are telling you, you know, you've got to do this and say that, and then they'll press this magic button and they'll do this. And people just don't work that way. I'm sorry, but we're human beings. We have nuances and feelings, and you know, we're. So it's really the golden rule. It's treat your customers the way you'd like to be treated yourself. It's really all about love, frankly. I mean, this is, you know, it's just just spent the weekend with my autistic brother, who's 52 going on 4, and I flew him up to Portland from San Diego, and it's the first time 20 years he's been on an airplane, and I was a little worried because he's very loud. He's enthusiastic, very happy, but he's also very loud. And I was worried that it would hurt people, you know, because if you go up, he's like saying, "Wee!" You know, and I didn't want people to think we were crashing or something because somebody was screaming in the front. So I just said that. I turned around to people and said, "This is my autistic brother. He's autistic. He's harmless. He's happy, and he's loud." And I swear, he changed the whole atmosphere of that plane because he was so thrilled to be up in the air and to be flying. And when we landed, he goes, "Oh, we made it!" And he was clapping his hands. And people thanked us as they got off. And I thought to myself, you know, this is what we're really here to do, is to brighten the lives of other people. So this whole buying, selling thing is so against that. It's so unlove. It's so yucky, and to use one of my brother's words. So, you know, why not just relax, know that these people are your friends, understand that they have a buying process. When they set out, they have a certain set of questions, they ask in a certain order, and they have to be answered in a certain way. That's it. There is nothing else to the buying process. You have to know the questions, you have to answer them successfully, and you have to get out of the way.
Know the questions, answer them successfully, and get out of the way. Gosh, we as small business owners, we hear that so much. Get out of our own way.
Yeah, and it's hard. It's hard.
Yeah, so this is good, and I love the example that you mentioned about Margaret at Abbey St. Clair. She's one of our Indie Beauty Network members as well, so we do know her, Kristen. Thank you for sharing that you are working with her, and I've actually noticed that she's on Twitter, and I'm seeing her engaging, and we've had some conversations before, so, and I do know that this is quite a change for her, so I'm very excited to hear that happen and see those differences. And she does have some fantastic mineral makeup. I've tried some, so I enjoy it. So this is great, though. So for small and independent business owners, we have to, as you said, get out of our way. But tell us a little bit about what your book calls, in our last few minutes here, supporting, light, medium, heavy, and intense scrutiny buying processes. What generally are they, and how do we have to sort of shift our mindsets to handle those different types of things?
Okay, that's a great question. I'll answer it briefly. So what I figured out at one point, well, I'm literally trying to solve the marketing and selling problem in my lifetime. I'm determined for that to happen. So that's what gets me up every day. And one of the things I noticed several years ago was that people who were selling what I call a light scrutiny product were selling it as if it were a heavy scrutiny product. So what I mean by that is you can take all of the products and services in the world and divide them into 4 categories based on the amount of scrutiny that the customer applies to the purchase. So there are light scrutiny, medium scrutiny, heavy scrutiny, and intense scrutiny products and services in the world. I don't care what the industry is or anything else, they all fit into one of these categories. Light scrutiny is you see it, you buy it. It's a very cheap checkout counter kind of impulse purchase. Not a lot of questions. Nobody else is involved. Can I afford this or not? My money or my waistline or whatever. But it's just see it, buy it. Medium scrutiny is see it, ask a bunch of questions, and then buy it. Examples of that in the consumer side include clothing, for example. We have lots of very specific questions about clothing. But nobody else is involved, really, except in our mind. You know, is my husband or wife going to like this? And, you know, there's that kind of thing. But nobody else is really involved. Then heavy scrutiny is when you see it, you ask lots of questions, you get other people involved, other buyers, you talk to a salesperson, you take it for a test drive, you sign a contract, and that's the whole purchase process. And you may get some after-sale support. In the consumer world, that's things like cars, houses, big purchases, that type of thing. Intense scrutiny is all of that, but then you get married. It's an ongoing service, which is the kind of product or service, I should say, that I sell as a revenue coach to businesses of all sizes. They really trust me. We have a great relationship. I'm very involved in their business, and I keep trying to work myself out of a job to make them self-sufficient and turn them on to other resources and stuff, because I have so much business, I have to do that. But that's an intense scrutiny service. Now, here's the interesting thing. Even though I'm selling an intense scrutiny service, because I answer all of their questions on my website, when you go there, you know exactly what's going to happen to you after you buy. You know how I do my services and everything. By the time you're finished, you have only two or three questions, which means I'm selling an intense scrutiny service, but I'm only investing in the sale as if it were a medium scrutiny or even a light scrutiny service. And that's very cost effective. So when they come to me, they have two or three questions. Would you like to work with us? When could you start? And how much do you charge? And since I charge differently, the big companies get bigger prices and the little companies get little prices, that's entirely appropriate that I don't put that on my website. So that's it, but that's all I have to answer. I'm hired. I have a 90-some percent closing rate because by the time they come to me, they're sold.
They're ready to buy. They know what they need. Yep. They just have a few questions. And speaking of your website, where can we go and see this great model for us to follow?
Okay, so I have three websites. I have a blog called revenuejournal.com, and I post there about once a week, but I don't post unless I have something new and instructional to say, so instructive. So I post about once a week there, but there are a lot of back issues, and they're by category. People can look all around. So that's revenuejournal.com. And then from there, you can either go to the book site, which is roadmaptorevenue.com, or my consulting site, which is zhivago.com.
And Zhivago.com, is that kind of the one you were mainly talking about just a minute ago?
Yes. But okay. I have to say, though, people do go to the blog, and the people who call me, they say, I've just spent an hour and a half reading your articles in your blog.
Yes.
And then I looked at your about page and a couple other pages on your Zhivago site, now here I am.
And that's so wonderful. I'm so glad you said that, because that's such an integral part of people checking you out before they, they may even know what their questions are, but they may go, I want to go see what this person's all about. And they can find out at the blog and they can see your expertise.
Yeah.
And that's important, isn't it? No matter what you're selling, people want to buy from people who are experts in their field, whatever that field is. They know.
Yeah, and I'm glad you brought that up. I need to just say in the few seconds we have remaining here that the best advice I can give to your folks is to remember that how much they know about their particular subject. And people tend to forget they know so much and how helpful that information could be to their audience.
Right, right.
So sharing what you've learned, which is what I do in my blog, I learn it and then I teach it. That's what I do all day. I learn it, then I teach it.
Love it, love it. And, you know, we do have a few seconds left. Mary Humphrey at Annie's Goat Hill has this question. Do you find that surveys are useful tools for determining what prompted our customers to purchase? That is an online survey as opposed to the phone call.
No. I hate them. And the reason I hate them is because the questions came out of your assumptions, and your assumptions are always wrong.
Ah, okay. Okay.
That's why you have to have a conversation. You will learn new things in the conversation. You will not learn new things in a survey.
And certainly it's wonderful to hear the nuances in a person's voice and to actually just be able to talk like you and I are. I sent you questions in advance of the show. How many have I actually asked? None.
One or two. Yeah.
Well, and that's the beauty of it. And I think that illustrates your point, is that, you know, you can plan, and certainly we should plan the questions we're going to ask, but look what happens. You get so much more when you just listen and go with that flow.
Yeah, there's another thing. People will not write down their innermost thoughts. They will share them on the phone.
I love Good, good question, Mary. And how great that Mary at Annie's Goat Hill asked that question, because it was a really, really good one. It was so short, and I loved your answer, which was so short too. No, that's really clear. So listen, guys, you want some really clear answers to your questions about selling and how to set up your own roadmap to revenue, and don't we all want that? Check out Kristen Zhivago, zhivago.com, roadmaptorevenue.com. You can follow her on Twitter, at Kristen Zhivago. Go to Indie Business on Twitter, and you'll see me tweeting about her right now. You've got to check this book out. I think it's fantastic, and the scrutiny gradations were worth it. Just the whole book's worth it just for that. Kristen, thank you so much for joining. It's been great having you.
Same here. Thank you so much.
Everyone, enjoy your life, build your business, and have your way. We'll see you next time.